And here Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation or your reasonableness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to your hearts through his word. Let's remain standing, shall we, for this prayer. We do thank you, Father, again for the opportunity that's ours to gather like this in the midst of some of the unusual things that we have in place here, marked places to sit, marked places to leave vacant, restrictions on how many can be in one location at a time, and the precautions to keep things germ-free. Thank you, Father, that you are accessible and that we can still worship you. We thank you for the safety that you have given to us as a church family in these months. We thank you that you have kept our people here free from being affected by this virus. Invisible, you can't see it, you don't know where it is or isn't. We're basically made to believe that it must be everywhere, all of the precautions that are recommended to us. Father, the bottom line is our health and well-being, they're in your hands. We know that we are expected to take things reasonably. We're supposed to take steps. We do our part, but the bottom line is our health. Whether we get this or not, it's in your hands. One can take all the precautions possible and still catch it if it's your will. By the same token, one can do nothing and not catch it if it's not your will. Help us as a church family to be loving, considerate, patient with one another, Christ-like. We do pray for those in authority over us. We pray for our governor. We ask, Lord, that you would guide her to make reasonable decisions. We pray for the federal authority, the president, and those that are his advisors and counselors. Father, how the world is trying to lay blame on someone for this. We've listened, we've watched. The media is doing everything it can to put all the blame on our president. We just pray that you would continue to work your will. We pray, Father, that you would be able, not only in our country, but around the world, to accomplish your purposes with this. There is some reason that this thing has so affected the whole reality, we think of over the years as flus and viruses have come and gone. They always have worldwide effect, but we've never seen the world responded like we have witnessed these last 2 or 3 months. You have a reason for that, Lord. And I just pray that through this there would be multitudes of people who would stop and think about their lives and who is in control and their future and where they would be should they die. And we pray that many might lift their hearts heavenward and repent of their sin and accept by faith the forgiveness and salvation that you have made available through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to know how to use this time in which we find ourselves to your glory and honor. Help us to have right attitudes as we talk with people. May Christ be seen and heard in our conversation. I pray, Father, for those of our congregation that are still not comfortable coming. We pray that you would minister to their hearts and their needs, and just do a mighty work. Make it possible for them soon to come to that place where they feel as though it would be all right to come. Perhaps there were some who wanted to come, but maybe some sickness has kept them away today. Meet their needs. We pray, Father, that you would be able to speak to our hearts through the truth of your word this morning. Get the glory in it, even through this familiar passage of Scripture. We thank you for Paul the Apostle and how you used him mightily. How indebted we are to all the scriptures that he obeyed you and written down, that we can have them for our instruction, learning, and growth in grace and in the knowledge of you. May your Spirit have the freedom to work in each of our lives what's needed this day. And we ask this in your name. You may be seated. Unless you'd like to stand. The last time we were able to meet and consider the book of Philippians was March 15th, 2.5 months ago. Wasn't that something? And we were, that Sunday morning, we were in verses 1 through 7 of Philippians chapter 4. And because we were hearing so much about the COVID virus at that time, we especially focused on verses 6 and 7, where Paul talked about the anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And we gave that little 3-point outline that this verse lends itself to, and that is, don't worry about anything. That's what be anxious for nothing translates to. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Then, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Thank God for everything. How have you fared these last 2.5 months? Especially with that first point. How many of you have found yourself
worry-free about the COVID virus? Could I see your hands? Two of you. A few of you. Some of us, and I appreciate your honesty, some have struggled with that matter of being worry-free about that, haven't we, as a church family? Some have really wrestled with, what if? I'm so thankful that Paul put that passage of Scripture in there. And we saw that seventh verse talks about if we'll take those steps, we're not going to worry about anything. And you know, how many of you would say that is an option? That's optional. That you decide whether or not you're going to worry or not. Now we know we're not seeing the hands raised up so much. Truth is, we know it is optional, don't we? We know we can determine whether or not we're going to be worried about something or whether we're going to trust God about something. We appreciated so much the fact that Pastor Postup and his church down there in Ann Arbor were able to streamline their services, and the very first Sunday that we were not able to meet, I think that rounded out to about March 22nd, Pastor Postup had a guest speaker there that day, and he taught the Sunday school lesson. And it was in Matthew chapter, either Matthew 14 or Luke 14, I think maybe Luke 14, when Jesus had sent the disciples ahead of him out on the Sea of Galilee, and he said, you go ahead, I'm going to go up on the mountain and pray for a while. And about midnight, he was through praying, and it says that the Lord started out across the sea to meet up with the disciples, and a storm had blown in that night. While the Lord would, and the point that the guest speaker had made was, the disciples were right where the Lord told them to be. He sent them into the storm. Things do not just happen to us. And the Lord started walking out toward them that night, and the disciples were terrified. They were seasoned sailors, and they thought this was the big one. They thought this was going to be it. And to add to their terror, they saw a man walking to them on the water. Well, that wouldn't be a frightening thing to see. How many of you have ever seen someone walking on the water? I haven't. And in the middle of the night, in the midst of a roaring storm, we can imagine the lightning and the thunder flashing and getting that glimpse of, here is someone walking toward them. And the Lord's words were so important. Why are you, you know what his next word was? Fearful. You stop and think about that, and we ask ourselves, why are we fearful about this COVID-19 thing? Our Lord's in control. Our Lord is in control of this thing. sometimes people say, well, if you do everything God wants you to do, life is always going to be smooth sailing and peaceful. They were in the midst of the worst storm they had ever been in their lives because their Lord and Savior said, you go on ahead. They were in the place they were supposed to be, and the Lord brought the storm, and their faith was tested. These last 2.5 months, I think, have tested everybody's faith. I am this year currently going through the Oswald Chambers Daily Devotional Bible, and this morning, I thought, had an excellent... He has a little paragraph or two from one of his books that he had written before the actual scripture reading for the day. But this one is called Confidence in Jesus. And by the way, this comes from a book that maybe some of you have. My Utmost for His Highest. If you have that, this was a portion from that book. It says, Confidence in Jesus. Can you trust Jesus Christ where your common sense cannot trust Him? Can you venture heroically on Jesus Christ's statements when the facts of your common sense life shout, it's a lie? On the mount, it is easy to say, oh yes, I believe God can do it. But you have to come down into the demon-possessed valley and meet with facts that laugh ironically at the whole of your Mount of Transfiguration belief. Every time my program of belief is clear to my own mind, I come across something that contradicts it. Let me say I believe God will supply all my need. And then let me run dry with no outlook, and see whether I will go through the trial of faith or whether I will sink back into something lower. Let me say that I believe God's going to take care of me and God is in control of everything. And then let the COVID virus come around. And then what are we displaying? Are we displaying I'm trusting God to take care of me in this? Faith must be tested, because it can be turned into a personal possession only through conflict. Let me say that sentence again. Faith must be tested, because it can be turned into a personal possession only through conflict. What is your faith up against just now? COVID-19. The test will either prove that your faith is right or it will kill it. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The final thing is confidence in Jesus. Believe steadfastly on him, and all you come up against will develop your faith. Let me say that one again. Believe steadfastly on him, and all you come up against will develop your faith, not destroy your faith. There is continual testing in the life of faith. And the last great test is death. May God keep us in fighting trim. Faith is unutterable trust in God. Trust which never dreams that he will not stand by us. I read that this morning before we came to church, and I thought, my people need to hear that this morning. I want my people to be reminded of that great truth. And I think about the Apostle Paul and how he uttered these words, don't be anxious, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, thank God for everything. Thank God for everything. And God's peace. And God's peace is going to flood your heart and mind in a way that you would never be able to explain. It passes understanding. Now, who penned that? Was this a man who was living on Easy Street? This was a man who we know was locked in a Roman prison. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be. He didn't know whether he was going to be set free, whether he would lose his head to the executioner's sword or not. But this was the man who said, let me give you some words of encouragement. And as I said, how are you going to have the peace which passes understanding? It depends upon the following verses. It depends upon certain things. Yes, we're to pray. We're not to worry. We're to thank God about everything. But today we want to look at the fact that the connection to peace has with certain things. We're going to see that lasting peace is connected to right thinking and right living. Right thinking and right living. As we think about this, let's see, first of all, in verse 8, right thinking. Notice the instruction under the heading of things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Notice how he ends that 8th verse. Think on what? These things. Look at verse 9. Those things. That's why this morning we titled this, Things That Matter. Sometimes somebody will ask them, well, what are you thinking about? Oh, just things. Just things. And, you know, a lot of times, things aren't very significant. We know that, don't we? But you know what Paul is teaching us here in verse 8? I want to share with you, Paul said, some very significant things to think about. So, we ask ourselves, how important are a person's thoughts? Well, it doesn't matter what you think about. Is that true? When we think about what Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, we discover that what we think about is very important, because that verse says this, as he thinketh in his heart, what's the rest of it? So is he. We become what we think about. We put into practice what we think about. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So many times in this day and age, we try to just say, oh, it doesn't matter. As long as I don't play it out, as long as I don't do anything, How important are thoughts when we stop and think about the teaching of our Lord? Do you remember what he began to teach? For instance, even in the matter of murder.
Well,
I've never murdered anyone. What did our Lord say? If you're thinking thoughts of what? Hatred. It's as if you've taken the gun or you've taken the knife and actually murdered that one.
But I haven't done anything.
But you're thinking about it. Adultery.
Oh, I'd never do anything.
What Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart in Proverbs chapter 23, so is he. So the Lord says, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has already, it's just the same as committing the act. Our thoughts. Oh, beloved, you talk about things that matter, and we're looking today at these things. Do one's thoughts matter? They surely do. Listen to Mark 7, 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? This is very noisy.
Yeah. Something's very noisy.
Something is very noisy.
Move it up a little bit.
Crack.
You mean like that?
Yeah.
They come from within. Is that any better?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is that organ trying to go again. Anyway, our greatest enemy is whom? Spiritual powers of darkness, aren't they? Do you think there's somebody that doesn't want us even to be able to meet and talk about this today? Absolutely. So it'll do anything to interfere. Is it any better, or do I need to throw this down and pull this thing back up? Right now it's better. Okay. Andrew, just stand up and wave your arms if it starts getting bad again. Okay? I will know the signal. And I'll bring this up if it gets that bad. Okay. All of these things come from within. But a person would say, but I haven't done them. Because I am thinking about them. What does the end of that 23rd verse say in Mark 7? These things will defile the man. Thoughts matter. Does a person have any control over their thoughts? We've already mentioned this. We certainly do. And God holds each of us responsible for the thoughts that we entertain. And so, having said that, let's look at Paul's instruction about, first of all, right thinking in verse 8. Notice his instruction under that heading of things. When he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And these are things that we are to be thinking about. And in this list, we find it, I just refer to this as a universal listing for believers of all ages. A universal listing for believers of all ages. This is something that I don't care who we are. Here's something that we ought to take and personalize it and say, I want to make that true in my own life. So, the first thing, and he lists several different things here, we have heard these verses, these words talked about so many times. What can I share with you that you haven't heard before? Probably not a thing. And it's not my attempt to come up with 7 or 8 brand new, unique explanations. I've never heard that before. That's not, if you come for that today, you're going to just go out with a big disappointment. I'll just guarantee you that. Our first thought here, he said, think about things that are true. True. My wife, I know, years ago, taught this section to the ladies in her ladies' Bible study. And I know I have heard her on the phone, I have heard her in person suggest to other individuals that were listening how important it is. Her little favorite cliche was to fill your mind with what?
Truth.
There you go. Whatsoever things are true. How do you fare with filling your mind with things that are true and things that are of truth? Truth is, no pun intended there, most of us find ourselves filling our minds with things that are not true. What if? Just suppose. One gentleman reported a survey on worry that indicated only 8% of the things that people had worried about were legitimate matters of concern. Only 8% were legitimate things to be concerned about. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or they involved matters over which people had no control. I'm not going to ask how many of you ever worry. How many of you lose sleep over thinking about what if, suppose, what am I going to do? We've all been there, done that. But how tragic. Only 8% in that survey that was taken actually were of great concern. 92% didn't matter, but all of the people had spent and wasted their time. Satan is the father of lies. And if he can get you to fill your mind with a lie, he'll do it. If I do this and I do this, I might. Really? If I don't do this, such and such. Really? He wants us to fill our minds with anything except what is true. John 17:17 tells us that sanctify them through thy truth. Thy what is truth?
Word.
Never can go wrong to fill your mind with God's truth. Now, we've got, well, we say, okay, what I'm thinking about, it's true. I know it's true. This isn't fabricated. It isn't. But before you can put a check mark by it and say, well, it's all right if I think on this because it is true, I want to suggest to you that in order for anything to qualify, it has to pass the 7 or 8-fold test. It might be true, but it, number two, might not be honest or honorable or noble. That's what that word means, honest. Honorable or noble. So, just because what you're thinking of might be true, if it's not honorable, if it's not honest, you can't think on it. This isn't a pick and choose. Well, I can think about it if it's true, but it really doesn't have any virtue. We're going to get down to that word in a minute. It's really not pure. It can be as true can be, but if it doesn't qualify in every other area, we're not supposed to be filling our minds with it. We throw it out with the garbage. So what we're going to have to ask ourselves, Father, I need some direction. I need to be filling my mind with those things that qualify in every area. Honest, honorable, noble. This means that we're going to avoid what is trivial and mundane. Or simply just earthly. He wants us to fill our mind with what's honest, noble, honorable. The next word he says here in verse 8 is whatsoever things are just or right. Just or right. Much that a person might entertain thoughts of on their mind, in their mind, doesn't qualify because the truth is, it's not right that you should be thinking about that thing. It's not right. So I can't be thinking about it. But it's honest. It's true. Yeah, but it's not right that you're thinking about that. So I have to get rid of that. Here's the next one. Whatever things are pure, pure, undefiled. One author defined it as stainless, pure. It has no stain to it. When we think of our Lord, we should realize our responsibility in this particular area especially. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, John said, "And every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of seeing the Lord and being just like him," in verse 2, "everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Our Lord, stainless. Our Lord, undefiled, and that's what our minds ought to be filled with. We go on here in our text verse, in verse 8 of Philippians 4, and he says, whatsoever things are lovely. This is The only time you're going to find that word in the New Testament, you're not going to find it in other places to cross-reference to see what it is that he's talking about. The only time you'll ever find this, we're told that it means acceptable, admirable, and pleasing to God. Acceptable, admirable, and pleasing to God. I wonder, should I be thinking about this or not? Should this be filling my mind or not? Let's see. It's true, and it's honest. It's even pure, but I'm not sure that it would be acceptable to God. I mean, if I should all of a sudden meet him face to face and have to tell him an answer to him why I'm thinking about this thing, there we go. If it's not acceptable to God, throw it out. Here's another one. Of good report. Like the word lovely, this is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. Wiersbe suggests that what this word means is that if it's of good report, Mr. Wiersbe said it's worth talking about or appealing. It's actually worth talking about. Think about the things that run through your mind. Are they all worth talking about? You know, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, get your brain for your thoughts. Tell me what you're thinking about. How many of you would just readily spill out to so-and-so what you're thinking about? Or would you... Why, I wouldn't dare tell somebody what I'm thinking about. Well, if it's not worth talking about, then it's not worth thinking about. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Then he mentions, if there be any virtue, is this virtuous, if it has virtue. If it has virtue, it's something that is going to motivate you or me to do better. That which is virtuous has to do with any moral excellence. Moral excellence. Is this a virtuous thought? And then finally, if there's any praise, is this a praiseworthy thought? That which is commendable to others. Hey, Fred. Hey, Joe. Hey, Mary. Let me just. Man, I want to recommend something to you that I've been thinking about. Is it commendable to others? Or is it something that really you want to just keep to yourself when you're so glad people can't read your thoughts? You know, as we stop and think about this, I don't have it, but we know that in Psalm 139, my favorite psalm, the Lord understands our thoughts afar off. We can get away with it with one another. I look at you, I don't have a clue what you're thinking. Well, I can surmise. I can surmise. You've got 12 minutes left, and I hope you finish what I do. But I can't say for certain any more than you know what I might be thinking. You say, well, I hope you're thinking about the hope you're not thinking about going fishing or something while you're standing up there preaching to us. But our thoughts are always known to God. As we think about these things, Paul said here, he had talked about and he had thrown out as you talk about something that is desirable. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep or surround or guard our hearts. In verse 7, he says, now you need to be filling your mind with certain things if you want this to last and if you want this to be a reality. He started with the word things at the beginning of verse 8, and he concluded verse 8 by think on these things. Think on these things. We're actually told that the word that is used, think here on these things, is not just, let's see. Okay, I thought about it. Let's see, I'm told to think about, let's see. True, honest, just, lovely. Okay, I thought about things. We're told this means to actually meditate on. This is something that we are to actually spend time thinking on. Probably it would be safe to say many of us don't spend enough time thinking really on the things that we ought to. Would you agree? Because there's so many things come our way. How many of us truly think about these kinds of things? Meditate on it. Spend time on it. These seven or eight virtues here, however you want to add them up, these things which Paul says, here's food for thought. Fill your minds with things that matter. One author suggested that each of these things that we've listed in verse 8, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, every one of these features is found exemplified in our Lord Himself. Every one of these things. You want to know what is pure, what is true, what is of good report. Study the life of our Lord. Get to know our Lord more. Somebody else pointed out that what a comparison this verse is with Psalm 19. Verses 7 through 9. Let me just read that to you. Jot it down. Don't need to turn to it. As it talks about God's word, listen. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What another good passage to put alongside of Philippians 4:8 is Psalm 19:7-8. Well, what about those stray evil thoughts? Oh, Pastor, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands whether anybody has ever had an evil thought. It's sometimes even in the times when we are most intent and most intense in our fellowship and our relationship and our time alone with our Lord, haven't you ever been surprised when out of the blue, all of a sudden, where in the world did that thought come from? There's an old saying, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from doing what? Building a nest in your hair. I don't have to worry about that. No, all foolishness aside, the sin is not when the evil thought enters our mind any more than when the bird flies over the head. The sin occurs when we invite it to take up residence and we begin to entertain that thought. How are we supposed to deal with them? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to arrest those wrong thoughts and send them scurrying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's how we deal with those evil thoughts that want to take up residence. Lord Jesus, in your name, would you remove this thought out of my mind? I want my heart and my mind to glorify you. I don't want to allow this evil thought to take up residence. Lord, would you get rid of it? Help me, Father. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power, that I not become a slave to this thing once again. I don't want that thought to take up residence. I know it didn't come from you. I want to be thinking about that which is true and virtuous and pure and holy. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with that. With all these, Paul's word is to think on these things. And we're told that this word think, as I said a while ago, is actually to meditate on. MacArthur said the form of the word that he has used here, it comes actually as a command. Think on these things. Believers are to consider the qualities that Paul lists and meditate on their implications. And this verb calls for the habitual discipline of the mind on these virtues. But we move on very quickly to our second thing. Because we saw this morning there are things that matter, and that takes us to verse 9. And we see Paul here in Philippians 4 says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Four things, once again, he makes reference to. things you've learned of me, as I, Paul perhaps could have had in his mind, as he had opportunity previously to sit down and teach them one-on-one, and they had learned it from him. Or those that they had received from him, perhaps as he had sent a letter their way, and he had instructed them, telling them what to do. Or, he says here, those things that you have heard about me, that others have been reporting as they have, you've crossed paths with others that have been with me, perhaps in prison, and they've given, how's Paul doing? Well, Paul is doing fine. Or, he says, those things that you have actually witnessed, you have seen me live them out. That's quite a description of things, isn't it? Things that you've learned or heard or received or seen. What are we supposed to do with them? Oh, yeah. Yep, that's true. Boy, Paul sure lives it. Paul sure, he's shown us what it's all about, hasn't he? What does he say? He says, those things that you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. What's the next word? Do. It's just a little one, isn't it? That's not that important, is it? May I suggest to you that this word do, we're told, actually, and I looked this up because one of the authors that I was reading had used the word practice. Practice. Make it a habit so that you practice. And I thought, well, I wonder what version he's getting that from. And I checked, and I found I checked three different translations, versions, and that was the word that every one of them used. What does it mean to do the things that Paul is talking about? Beloved, it means to make it a practice in our lives. That kind of adds a little weight to it, doesn't it? See, we do a lot of things, but would we characterize them as my habit or my practice? What Paul has shown us by God's grace, and God, back in chapter 3, verse 17, had directed Paul, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us as an example. Paul was not a proud man. He was not boasting. The New Testament was not yet complete at the time this was written. And Paul was saying, if you want to know what I'm talking about, look at my life, and you will see in my life what I'm trying to get you to understand and put into practice in your own life. And that's exactly what we see here. As we think of this, we close with this. You know, just knowing what I'm supposed to do, or you knowing what you're supposed to do, that's not enough, is it? In James 1:22, we're told that we are to be what? Doers of the word, and not just what? Hearers only. I'll think about those things. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We talked about some things that matter. Yes, we're supposed to be thinking about them first, but secondly, we learn that we are to be what? Practicing them. And I was reminded of a very important portion of Scripture, and it's with this we are going to close. You wonder, okay, suppose I just think about them, but I don't do them. I want to share a very familiar parable with you in closing, and that's in Matthew 7:24-27. Don't turn to it. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now, you know it, and you're going to do it. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do, and doeth them not, he's going to be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of us. Okay. What is the difference in that parable, beloved? It was not the foundation. It was on the obedience to the truth of God's word. That's the difference. The things a person must give careful attention to is that which God has taught us in his word. Obedience practice assures the Lord's continued peace and blessing in every area of one's life. Shall we close in prayer? Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this truth. As we go away, I pray, Lord, that we would not just be pumped up to quickly forget. Lord, I pray that we would be moved to action in our own lives. May we take to heart what we have been listening to. And for your glory and honor, may it be seen in our lives by the working of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. For your glory, we ask these things.